Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning. It is Sunday, the 26th of April, the third Sunday after Easter. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and I and our supporters welcome you to this programme of the Word of Grace, broadcast on CJMQ Radio. We encourage you to be involved in a lively congregation of God's people. If you have no regular church connection, you would be welcome to join with us in-person worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at our premises at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville. And we also live stream our services on Facebook and YouTube. Words from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Yeah.
We turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Shepherd, Lord God, we adore you because you are the Lord who watches over us, ensuring we have everything that we truly need. Thank you for the quiet rest of your green pastures and for restoring our weary souls by still waters. We praise you for leading us in paths of righteousness and for your promise to walk with us even in the darkest valleys, where your presence brings comfort. We thank you for preparing a table of abundance before us and for the goodness and mercy that follows all who believe and trust in you all our days. Lord, we confess that we often act as if we have no shepherd. We are consumed with wanting more, complaining about the path you have chosen for us, and seeking greener pastures on our own. We confess that we sometimes fear the darkness, forgetting that you are beside us. We have struggled to trust you and have sought to maintain our own independence rather than depending on your guidance. Forgive us for ignoring your voice and for failing to live in the security of your house. Restore our souls, Shepherd of our lives. Calm our anxieties. Guide us in your truth. And let us dwell in the quiet confidence of your goodness, now and forever. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From John's Gospel, chapter 10, at verse 1, we read these words of Jesus. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to destroy and kill and steal. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul He doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness.
How would you complete this sentence? Life is... what? Forrest Gump filled in the blank by saying, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." And others have described our existence by filling in the blank with a rat race, a bowl of cherries, amino acids, a series of choices, a paycheck, the weekend, a party. For many, life can be nothing more than the time spent between birth and death, the drudgery of existence, the boring monotony of the routine, the hope of having enough to last until the end. But Jesus said, "I've come that you may have life and have it in abundance." If you want a short, punchy mission statement for Jesus Christ, for his purpose in life, that would be it. "I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance." He warned us against those things that would steal life. And here are some thoughts from the book of Ecclesiastes about the things that can be stealers of life. You won't find life in pleasure. You may hear people say, if only they could take a cruise, or retire in luxury, or have their fantasies fulfilled, then they would be really, truly living. Many people have done these things, yet still remain empty. Ecclesiastes says, the eye is not satisfied by seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. That's chapter 1, verse 8. You won't find life in performance. For eventually, workaholics learn that the satisfaction of one job completed is short-lived. A Wimbledon tennis champion thought all his life that winning this major tournament would result in life as he had never known it before. And he said, following his championship, the thrill of victory lasts about 15 minutes. You won't find life in possessions. The one who loves money is never satisfied with money, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 10. You won't find life in position. For too often people can think that if they receive a certain promotion, or reach a certain status, or live in a certain area, then they would be happy. But interestingly, those people who've reached that position still have not found the secret of a fulfilling life. You won't find life in pursuits. Some people are deluded into thinking that if they stay busy enough and if their pace of life remains at an intense level, then they will discover life. Yet all they find is stress, ulcers, and heart attacks. So we have pleasure, performance, possessions, position, pursuits. These are thieves masquerading as givers of life, but actually they are the dispensers of destruction, disease, and death. They are not the source of life, but the stealers of life. And who is the source of life? Well, it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus says time and time again that he is the giver of life, the author of life. In John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But here in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. The I in that verse is emphatic, meaning that life is found in none other than him. And life is entered into by no other way than Jesus himself. How could it be? Well, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep, in verse 7 of John chapter 10. It sounds peculiar, doesn't it? It stretches the imagination to think of a person acting as a gate or a door. In the 19th century, George Adam Smith, an English academic who travelled extensively in the Middle East, came across a sheepfold and said to the shepherd, that's where they go at night. Yes, said the shepherd, and when they are in there, they are perfectly safe. But there is no door, said the Englishman. I am the door, replied the shepherd. And Sir George looked at him and asked, what do you mean by the door? And the shepherd answered, when the light has gone out and all the sheep are inside, I lie in that open space. And no sheep ever goes out but across my body, and no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door. When Jesus said he is the door of the sheep, he meant that the fold has only one entrance, that life has one source, spiritual nourishment obtained one way, that heaven can be entered through one entrance, and the single access is in Jesus. When Jesus seeks to open the way to fullness of life, he seeks to open it for everyone, for all of creation. But we are more inclined to seek to grasp it for ourselves without regard for anyone else. For in the political life of nations, we tend to be caught up with the culture and the thought that so long as I'm all right, nothing else matters. But it's not possible to achieve fullness of life when it's denied to everyone else. If you live with everything while everyone around you lives with nothing, not only will you be relationally impoverished, but you'll have to live behind walls and razor ribbon and armed guards to keep the have-nots off your stuff. And maybe you've not noticed, but the people who live behind walls and razor wire and armed guards tend not to actually be happy. Walls erected to keep others out can cause a crippling anxiety about possible security failure. Dorothy Dace once said, "The only way to have real security is to live as close as you can to the bottom, because then you have no fear of a fall." Bill Gates, multi-billionaire, is believed to have said, "How can I be happy when nobody else is?" And so he, as part of his philosophy of life, advocated generous, charitable giving. Jesus came that we might have life and have it in abundance, all of us. And one of the biggest obstacles to the fulfillment of that mission is our desire to hoard it for our family, our group, our country. To take the blessings that God would put into our life by virtue of our industry and our creativity, where we live and the circumstances in which we spend our days. That greed, the basic operating principle of our economic system, tramples over the means of life for billions and other people. And even those societies which ostensibly benefit from it collapse under the weight of anxiety and depression and the social consequences of a community that disintegrates. So long as greed and the lust for power continue to hold sway, the quest for true abundance of life will be seen as dangerous and a subversive quest. But Jesus said, "I am the abundant life." When Jesus was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He himself bore our sins in his body, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. For by his wounds we have been healed. Amen. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you found us, lost and astray, and guided us along sure paths to life in abundance. In the first of your wonders and signs, you created the earth, spreading it out like a banquet before us. You created a people for yourself and gave them your law, that they might know your voice and follow in your ways. When we wandered away like lost sheep, stumbling through death's dark valley, you sent us your Son, Jesus Christ, who endured abuse and suffering unjustly, and returned only mercy and life. Calling us to attend to his voice and return to you, He bore our sins in his body on the cross, and when you raised him, he freed us to follow him, our shepherd and the guardian of our souls. Wise and generous God, shepherd of our lives, we are thankful this day for all you provide to sustain us. You call our weary souls to rest when the world seems busy. You bless us with the promise of new life, as pastures around us turn green, announcing another spring. You gather us around tables of friendship that draw strength from one another. Thank you for your signs of goodness and mercy that we can treasure each day. Loving and listening God, shepherd of the world, we bring our prayers for others, friends and enemies, neighbours and strangers alike. We pray for people who are struggling with illness, loneliness, grief or sadness. We pray for people in countries and communities where it's not safe to live out their faith or express their views openly. We pray for victims of discrimination, acts of hatred, domestic violence and physical punishment. For journalists and advocates for justice who live under the threat for telling the truth. And we pray for congregations and fellowships and churches and denominations that seek to renew and reorganize themselves to meet the needs of the communities they serve. We pray for our families, friends, for ourselves, as well as those in the news whose situations tug at our hearts. Walk with us all through dark days and steep valleys, we pray. And we offer these prayers and our unspoken concerns to you in the name of the risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come follow me, and I will give you rest. Be not afraid. I go before you always, come follow me, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.